Hello, everyone, and welcome to English Evening. Today is Friday, and I am John.
Hi, 大家好，我是 Cynthia. Welcome to English Evening. And tonight, we want to travel to Malaysia first. Do you know Malaysia has set up its first Confucius Institute?
Yeah. And so, what China has been doing for quite a while now is in order to, you know, raise awareness of Chinese culture and Chinese language is they've been setting up these different, Confucian, institutes all over the world. And so, the most recent place has been in Malaysia.
There's no doubt the establishment of Confucius Institute will have a positive influence on the Chinese language learning and enhance understanding and friendship between the two countries.
From what I understand, there's a lot of cooperation these days between China and Malaysia. Like a lot of, I've heard that quite a few Malaysians have been coming to China for work, and for study, as well as a lot of Chinese people have been going to Malaysia for work and study as well.
Mm-hmm.Definitely, this will enhance the exchange and help people to find jobs、
yeah.
as well to teach or to be educated.、
Mm-hmm.
马来西亚建立一所新的孔子学院，这样能够增进中马两国之间的文化交流。And travel to some other places. I heard Casablanca, a tourist city by the beautiful Atlantic Ocean,、
mm-hmm.
has felt the pinch of global financial crisis.
Yeah, and so Morocco is a part of the African continent, but it's in the Atlantic Ocean, it's an island, and it's actually very, very close to Spain, and so it sees a lot of tourists, European tourists as well as other, international tourists, maybe who go to Europe and, as well, and then, go to Morocco.
So the largest city and economic hub of Morocco,Casablanca is by no means immune to the crisis,、
mm.
and tourism revenue has decreased 3.5% in 2008, so which means the crisis has kept many Europeans and U.S. tourists from visiting this beautiful city.
Yeah, and so it's actually funny because, most people know this city, Casablanca, from the famous 1943 movie with the same name, with Humphrey Bogart and, another famous actress, so I can't quite recall her name. But anyway, and so, like, Casablanca itself is actually quite famous, and so they've really capitalized on that movie and, the name brand status, you might say, in terms of tourism. And, like, they've done a really good job of...being able to bring in a lot of revenue from that. But of course, if you don't have people visiting, right, then you won't be able to make very much money.
Mm-hmm. So they have some new method to fight against this economic crisis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what they've done is they've drawn up a tourism development strategy for 2009 and 2010, and they decided to spend about 300 million dirhams to bolster the tourism development.And so what they want to do, basically, is fund the construction of tourist infrastructure, as well as the promotion of tourist products and opening up of new tourist markets.
And talking about Africa, Africans now call to guard the cultural values, because there are too many young people so fond of computer games, PCs, not only iPhone, but other cell phones,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of modern technology seems to be a threat to the traditional culture.
Sure. And I think a lot of developing nations are really going through this, because what happens is, you have the traditional culture, which doesn't have very much technology, right? And so a lot of the rituals and ceremonies and stuff exist in kind of a world without very much contact with the outside world. But now we see that...with more and more development, these things are a little bit, at risk, right? Because young people are like, well, you know what? Like, this really isn't very relevant anymore. Instead I can play computer games or talk on my phone or, watch TV or something. Like, we don't need the traditional rituals and ceremonies that, maybe our parents and grandparents used and needed.
And that's why the Tanzania president has...been saying that young Africans were losing traditional customs、
mm-hmm.
and it's very dangerous. So young and educated, don't lose your identity through foreign cultures.
Yeah, and this is always the problem, I think, because in the end, like, we think we talk about development as being a good thing, right? But there's always going to be something lost, I think, because...where we are right now as a global society, like, technology isn't always so compatible with traditional values. And so especially for, like, the old guard, you might say, this is a bit of a problem because, mm-hmm. like, how can you integrate with the global society and yet still maintain, you know, like a cultural identity. And I think this is a problem that really has yet to be solved.
I think it's universal for mm-hmm. developing country and mm-hmm. for those countries with rich culture and history.
Yeah.
Probably they feel the same. But I think technology has some positive effect on facilitating people's lives as well.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, you think about, like, cell phones and stuff like that, and communication is just that much easier these days. And also the problem is, you know, with technology and stuff like that, like, a lot of it's with the young people. You know, they see, maybe they see movies or they see TV shows and they're like, oh, you know, like, I want my life to be like that, you know, like, we don't really need traditions anymore. And so what they do is they end up adopting, you know, maybe like foreign cultures, and thereby, you know, losing their own, you know, native culture.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, when I went to the Forbidden City with some friends, we always joked that I wouldn't want to be an emperor because he doesn't have TV and it's a boring life here. So it's always a conflict, and it's like you have to survive in contemporary society. Globalization, no doubt, but also don't lose your identity.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, again, like, so that's the thing. I mean, like, these developing countries, what they really want to do is kind of emulate and maybe even copy, like, these already developed countries. And so it's one of those things, like, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you might say. And so what happens is, you know, instead of just only adopting, right, the technology and some of, like, the business practices and maybe even, like, some of the politics and stuff like that, they end up just taking the whole hog, right? And so, and this is a problem, because on the one hand, sure, we all want to be developed and we all want to have, you know, a pretty high standard of living and stuff like that, but at the same time, I think we do need difference. Like, not everyone can be the same. If we're all the same, then wow, that's really boring.
mm-hmm. I think the technology can also identify itself with this some culture. For example, the Chinese cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Some phone has the function of recognizing the written prescription, the words that in Chinese character, which mm-hmm. is quite difficult. Technology, I guess.
No, it's like, technology is doing some great things. I mean, in terms of, like, translation stuff, like, you know, they're working on phones that can automatically translate, you know, from, for example, from English to Chinese and vice versa. But it's always one of those things. I mean, sometimes technology can become maybe too much of a crutch.
Hmm.
You know, like, we saw this with the calculator in America. You know, like, people, like, kids start using calculators and suddenly their math really isn't very good. Like, their, you know, basic fundamental math isn't very good. And, like, what I've heard from some Chinese people, it's like some young people, they really don't know how to write very well because they can just use a computer and type out the Chinese characters, and which is based more on recognition than actual production. And so, like, and so again, technology definitely makes for some, makes life easier and more convenient, but at the same time, we always lose something when that happens.
Mm-hmm. And also, there's too much information nowadays where you can turn on the TV and see the news, what's happening at the other side of the world. When you're surrounded with so much information, it's not good because kids tend to get lost.
You know, no doubt.
Yeah, there's so many computer games out there and so many choices. So, and it takes time for you to practice traditional, even handwriting.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I mean, I remember reading an article a few years ago called The Tyranny of Choice. But here, tyranny of choice, where they're talking about there's just too many choices. Like, you go to a market, you go to, you know, you go shopping, and there's so many different brands and different styles and different, like, pieces of clothing, for example, that in fact, like, in terms of self-confidence and in terms of, like, decision-making, it actually, like, there's, like, some real psychological damage that happens. And so, I mean, on the one hand, sure, you know, we have more freedom and more choice, but, like, to what degree is that actually a good thing, you know?
But don't get too addicted. For example, don't stay too long on the internet.
Sure.
So forget about your parents, your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's that.
No, it's always one of those things. I mean, like, and I remember in high school, my girlfriend would get really, really angry at me, right? Because I wanted to play video games, but she wanted to hang out with me.
Oh.
And you can't really do the same thing. You can't really do both things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's one of those things, like, if you get too involved in technology and in, you know, TV or computer and something like that, you can really forget about, like, the people who are really around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so, like, you know, instead of, like, actually talking with people face to face, you're just talking to people, like, through, like, on the internet or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and speaking of which, you know, think about, like, times, you know, like in the past where there really wasn't very much technology, you know? Mm. Like, people had more time to, like, meet face-to-face, you know, maybe, you know, outside, like, playing cards or, you know, go to the bar and stuff like that. Like, there was much more, I think, motivation for, like, face-to-face contact with, you know, like, with your close friends.
Yes, I know that kind of good old day fashion lifestyle poems, were being created among friends, and while taking some drinks and chatting and having fun together. Like in a pavilion, that's very, very nice and cozy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, in so many ways with this technology and stuff, we're kind of losing some of that. And so, you know, it's easy to forget, I think, because, you know, like, as humans, like, we're kind of like, kind of maybe designed in some ways to look for new things and to be fascinated by new things. But the problem is, of course, like, if you get too obsessed or, like, too involved in these things, then it's actually quite detrimental.
And now it's time for Words of the Economy. 现在让我们来听听今晚的经济词汇解析。First of all, private sector. What does it mean by private sector?
Right, well, private sector, like basically like here we have to talk about two words. We have to talk about the private sector as well as the public sector. And so sector here just means area or even sometimes location. But when we talk about sector in terms of economy, we're talking about different industries, different companies and stuff like that. And so basically the private sector, we're talking about companies and industries that are privately owned, that is, not owned by the government.
And the public sector, vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. And so then the public sector, then, is, we're talking about industries, businesses, and stuff like that are owned specifically by the government.
So remember, private sector means 私营部门, public sector means 公共部门. And how about rate of growth?
Basically, rate of growth, we're talking about how fast or how slow an economy is growing, right? And so, like, we usually, when we talk about growth, like, we're talking about, like, a country's economy. And usually, you know, people talk about the GDP. They look at how fast the GDP is growing as a measure of the rate of growth.
That was rate of growth, 增长率. And that's all for tonight's Words of the Economy.
And now it's time for Studio Classroom.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. Thank you for taking time out of your day to study English with us. Well, drive-thrus are an American institution. This month in our American Culture Corner, we're looking at all the things you can do at a drive-thru without ever leaving your car. For example, you can buy food, do your banking, and pick up some medicine at the pharmacy.Okay, conversation A begins at the top of the right-hand column on page 48.
A car drives through it. Conversation A.
Let's go through the drive-thru at McDonald's today.
Why?
Because it's July 24th.
So?
It's National Drive-thru Day.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. Just think how much more hectic our lives would be without drive-thrus.
I suppose so. I use the ATM in the drive-thru at the bank a lot.
Me too. But did you know there's a drive-thru convenience store in Missouri? And there is a drive-thru check-in at Hawaiian Airlines in Hawaii.
That's crazy.
It is.You can even get married at a drive-thru chapel in Las Vegas.
No, thanks. That's one thing you should get out of the car to do.
Hi, friends. I'm Chip.
And I'm Rachel, and we're so glad you joined us for our second day of our American Culture Corner lesson. We've been talking about drive-thrus. THRU. And we've been mentioning that these are so easy, they're convenient. And if you don't want to get out of your car, but you need coffee or fast food or medicine, then you can just go through a drive-thru in America and get what you need in a matter of minutes.
And it's very appropriate that we are talking about drive-thrus today, because actually today is America's National Drive-Thru Day. So you have joined us on a very special day.
I didn't even realize this was a holiday before I read this lesson, but how exciting it is, National Drive-Thru Day. And if you have the chance to go through a drive-thru, well, then we encourage you to do that. Let's look at our conversation right now. Again, it's between Jack and Laura, and this gives us a chance to look at some dialogue about the subject we're talking about. What does Laura say to Jack?
Well, Laura says, hey, let's go through the drive-thru at McDonald's today. And maybe Jack doesn't totally understand why she would want to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's today, so he says, why? Well, Laura says, it's because it's July 24th.
But Jack still doesn't get it. He says, so? What's the big deal about July 24th? And Laura answers him again, it's National Drive-Thru Day. And what is Jack's response to that?
You're kidding. What? And I think I would have a similar response as Jack had. You're kidding. That means, are you serious? There's such a thing as National Drive-Thru Day?
Well, you know, Chip, what's kind of funny is there's pretty much a holiday every day of the year in America. I once saw this calendar where there's National Ice Cream Day, National Peanut Butter Day, National Hug Your Pet Day, and somebody has come up with these fun national holidays. Of course, they're not celebrated like a true national holiday like Valentine's Day or Easter, but they are kind of fun, special days, and occasionally restaurants or certain businesses will offer special promotions or deals on these fun holidays.
Yeah, I need to find out when National Ice Cream Day is. That sounds like one I need to celebrate.
I know it's sometime in the summer. You could probably look it up online. But again, this is fun, and Jack thinks she's just kidding, but she's not. She says, no, I'm not. And what does she continue to say about drive-thrus?
Well, she explains how valuable drive-thrus have been to us. And she says, just think about how much more hectic our lives would be without drive-thrus. Now, that word hectic can mean, well, that's one of our vocabulary words, and it often means crazy. Or if your life is hectic, that means it's full of busyness and craziness that maybe causes some stress or confusion or frustration.
So her point is, if we didn't have drive-thrus, our lives would be even more hectic than they already are. They'd be even more busy or crazy. And Jack thinks about that for a second and says, I suppose so. I use the ATM in the drive-thru at the bank a lot. So we talked about banks last time, and we learned that often you can go through the drive-thru and exchange your money, deposit money, withdraw money, but also you can use an ATM in the drive-thru.
And that word ATM stands for an automated teller machine, and that automated is very close to the word automatic that we learned yesterday. That means it happens automatically. You drive up, you put your card into the ATM, you push some buttons, and then you get cash out of your bank account.
Now you might wonder, why don't Americans just walk to the ATM? But in America, it's much different than in Asia. You can walk to a lot of places in Asia simply in your neighborhood. But in America, you might have to drive 30 minutes sometimes to get somewhere, to like a mall or to even to a grocery store if you live out in the country. So it's very convenient if you don't always have to get out of your car. If you can just drive through one of these places like at a bank. Now, Laura mentions also a couple of other drive-thrus that are worthy of mention, and they're kind of fun. What does she talk about in Missouri?
Well, she knows about a drive-thru convenience store in Missouri, and she also mentions a drive-thru check-in at Hawaiian Airlines in Hawaii. So a drive-thru check-in, that would be pretty handy, I think, where you could get your boarding passes and maybe deliver your bags. Is that right?
I think so. Basically, you check in to ride the airplane, and you don't even have to get out of your car until it's time to board the plane. So those are a couple of other drive-thru examples. Jack thinks that's a little bit crazy, but wait till he hears her next idea. What is the craziest of all about these drive-thrus?
Well, if that's crazy, she mentions that you can even get married at a drive-thru in Las Vegas, Nevada, in Las Vegas, in America. Now, getting married in a drive-thru, that seems a little extreme.
Yes, it is a drive-thru chapel, which is like a very small church, but still, not even having to get out of your car. Jack says, no thanks. That's one thing you should get out of your car to do. Well, hopefully this gives you something to talk about. These are some fun places, some fun drive-thrus in America.
Welcome back from the break, friends. Can it be true? Is there really a national drive-thru day in America? Friends, it is true, and it's today. So to help celebrate this convenience of modern society, why not hop in a car and go through a drive-thru? Don't have a car? No problem. Find some friends and split the cost of a taxi. Come on, it'll be fun, and you'll make a great memory. Now, Jack and Laura are at a fast food drive-thru. Their next conversation starts at the top of page 49. Join us now as we look at that.
A car drives through it. Conversation B. At the fast food drive-thru.
I thought drive-thrus were supposed to be fast. We've been here over 5 minutes. And we haven't even ordered yet.
That's because the guy in the car ahead of us is asking too many questions.
Either that or ordering for a family of 10.
People need to use good manners at a drive-thru. It's for fast service. If you have lots of questions or are making a big order, go inside.
Yes. And at banks, drive-thrus are not the place to discuss banking problems.
We should write a book on drive-thru manners.
Yes, but let's order lunch first. I'm starving, and it's finally our turn.
Welcome back. We're spending the day talking about drive-thrus, because this is a national drive-thru day in America, and we're looking at a conversation between Jack and Laura. And we're looking at the second part of the conversation, where Jack and Laura are sitting in the drive-thru at McDonald's.
And unfortunately, it's taking a little bit longer than Jack thought it would. He comments to Laura, I thought drive-thrus were supposed to be fast. We've been here over 5 minutes, and we haven't even ordered yet. Unfortunately, this sometimes happens.
It does. And actually, Laura explains probably why this is happening. She says that's because the guy in the car ahead of us is asking too many questions. Now, if you're in the car and you're in the drive-thru, usually there's a line of other people and other cars behind you. And so if you take too much time explaining your order, asking too many questions, it can be a little inconvenient for other people.
True, because when people go to a drive-thru, they're hoping that they can get their food or whatever they need very quickly. But that's not always the case. Sometimes you get stuck behind a car where they're ordering for a lot of people, or they just have a lot of questions. So that's Jack's next point. He says, well, either they're asking too many questions, or they're ordering for a family of 10. And what he's saying here is that maybe there are too many people in the car trying to place their order, And that's taking a long time. It's kind of like if you've ever been to a tea stand and maybe one person is ordering for an entire office and you have to wait while 25 teas are being made. When you go there, you don't expect you're going to have to wait that long, and sometimes that also happens in the drive-thru.
So Laura suggests people need to use good manners at a drive-thru. And manners is one of our more vocabulary words. And if you have good manners, that means you are obeying the rules that make you polite. And if you have bad manners, usually that means that you might appear or sound rude in a certain area or in with other people.
So you want to have good manners, not just at a drive-thru, but in general when you go to a restaurant, you want to treat people politely. And part of those good manners means that if you need fast service, then you go through the drive-thru. But if you have lots of questions or are making a big order, you should go inside the restaurant. Don't make all of the other cars wait for 15, 20 minutes while you use the drive-thru to make your big order. So those are some of the manners you should follow when you're in America.
That's right. And Jack totally agrees. He says, yes. And at banks, drive-thrus are not the place to discuss banking problems. So if you need to go to the bank and you have some big questions that you need to ask the banker, then maybe you should not go through the drive-thru.
No. The drive-thrus are for quick service. So if you need more than a couple minutes, then obviously go inside the restaurant or inside the bank or inside the pharmacy and don't use the drive-thru. What does Laura respond with? Well, she says, we should write a book on drive-thru manners. She's probably joking around here, but I think what she realizes is she and Jack understand what good manners are, but obviously the car in front of them doesn't.
That's right. They understand, and they want other people to understand as well. And Jack says, yes, but first, maybe we should order lunch, because he says, I'm starving.
He's starving. Well, that is a great word to learn. If you are starving, then you are so hungry, you think you are going to almost die from your hunger. We have a lot of other words that we use when we're hungry. Sometimes we say we're famished, and sometimes we say we're starving to death, and often these are very dramatic terms because he's not actually starving.
Right. He's not dying because he's not getting food, so he's exaggerating. But it sounds like he is very hungry, and he is ready to order his food, and hopefully I think Jack is going to get his food at the drive-thru.
I hope that all of you have a great day. Bye-bye.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
That was Studio Classroom, which tells us we are at the end of this Friday edition of English Evening. And it seems like we've been getting a lot of requests for written materials produced by English Evening. However, we do have the Studio Classroom magazine, which can be purchased at various bookstores. And also, if you would like to, practice your listening and, basically get a better grasp of what we've been talking about, you can always listen to us on the Internet. And our address is www.cnr.cn.
And you're always welcome to write to us. Remember, our email address is englishevening@cnr.cn.
Yeah.
感谢您的陪伴，非常高兴能够今晚再和您共度英语之夜。Good night and sweet dreams.
听众朋友，英语之夜节目的播出时间是每晚22:30到23:00，欢迎收听。
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声。让你永远领先一分钟。
酷比经济学，
欢迎来到酷比经济学，我是娜娜。今日查点 GDP Gross Domestic Product 国内生产总值，在一个国家或者地区所有常住单位生产的所有最终商品和服务的总价值就是 GDP。 GDP 恐怕是曝光率最高的宏观经济学统计数字了，是经济领域的明星概念。但是盲目崇拜 GDP 必然引发资源环境问题，所以